chapter 10, last week we left off in the first 15 verses, and once again Jesus is teaching his disciples about being sent out, and there was some guidance that he had given to them about going and preaching the gospel and going to houses and being cared for, and if they received them, that they were to give them a blessing. If they weren't, they were to wipe the dust off their feet and take the blessing back. So it seemed like we have some authority to give blessings and to take them back if people don't want to listen to our gospel. And he ended by saying, freely you have received, freely give. And we talked about that a little bit last 2 weeks ago, about the things God gives to us and how we should give them out to others. And so this week, we are going to go through chapters starting in verse 16 and go through these verses and see what the Lord talks about as they are being sent out. He's going to talk about the troubles, the persecutions that will follow because of doing the work of the ministry. And, you know, I was thinking about our culture today and all that is happening with same-sex marriage, with abortions, with legalizing of marijuana and drugs. You know, there's some good arguments for a few of these things, and I've heard people talk, and I think, man, Lord, you know, what's the truth? And again, because I know the Word is true, we know that the Word will give us the guidance of what should be done, what should not be done. But when you supply the Word to a world that's fallen or in decay, you're going to get resistance. People don't like to be out of sync with what the world's doing. And unfortunately, sometimes us Christians, we do the same thing. We kind of blend in with the world when we're supposed to be the light of this world. We're supposed to be the ones that are standing in this dark culture with our light shining so people have a place to find bearing and know what is true. And of course, we get our bearings from the light source itself, Jesus Christ, and through the Word of God that gives us the guidance that we need. And so this morning, I hope as we learn and read, we will see what is expected of us, but also what are we supposed to do during the time as we go out. Father, we do come before you. We do lift up these verses to you, Lord. Father, we know we need to hear you speak this morning. We know we need the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to our minds, to give us the direction that we need. And so I just pray for your word this morning, Lord, that you would speak loud and clear. I pray for all the studying that's been done in this portion of scriptures, Lord, that you would give to us your truths, your wisdom, your knowledge. So, Father, I just come before you now and pray that you would speak to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read verses 16 through 26 right now, and then we'll go over some. It says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will raise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he should be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. In this portion of Scripture, Jesus is giving instruction on the the idea of what will happen as they go forth and speak the word of God. And he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." I'm sending you out as sheep. Now, we know we are considered sheep who need to be cared for. Left to ourselves, we will wander away. But he says he's sending us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, I don't know if you guys know much about animals. I know little. I know more about dogs than I probably know about anything. Some horses, when we owned a horse, I learned some things about horses. And sheep, I've learned from scriptures that they're just dumb animals. They have to be taken care of. And you know, the longer I'm a Christian, the more I realize I am truly a sheep and need to be cared for. Because left to myself, I will just wander off, just like a sheep does. But he says in the midst of wolves, in the midst of this world, in the midst of those that are wanting to hurt this world. And as I think of a sheep and a wolf, and a wolf wanting to attack sheep and take sheep, I think of David in the Psalms when he talks about the animals and how he overcame a lion and a wolf and the things that he says. You know, we have to be on our guard. And as I look at these scriptures and I think, you know, our nature as believer is to, we're like sheep. But there's also some things that he says here. Therefore, be wise as serpent. Now, is a serpent wise? That's kind of the question. The first thing I thought, is the serpent wise? And as I was studying, I came across this thing that Pastor Chuck said. A guy says, how can a serpent be wise? And Pastor Chuck told the guy as he was leaving the door, well, let me cut off your hands and legs and put you out in the desert and see how you survive. And when I heard that, I thought, wow, that's true, because the snake is just a snake, you know. He kind of does this thing, and he's got no arms, he's got no feet. And yet the Lord tells the disciples, be as wise as a serpent. I thought, you know, how would I survive? You would have to be wise to survive like a snake. But he's not saying go out and kill people and bite people and throw poison at people or wrap yourself around someone like a snake and start squeezing and squeezing until you pop them out. Or, you know, have you seen the snake on the History Channel? You know, they got, you know, these mouths, and they can open it and they can get into a person, and then they just kind of stretch and they swallow the whole thing, and you can see that thing moving. And he's not, dude, don't do that. Don't swallow people. Don't hurt. He's not saying that. He said, be wise as a serpent. Then he says, and be harmless as a dove. Now, doves are known to be soft and gentle. So be smart and be soft and gentle. Don't be harsh like a serpent, but be wise as a serpent. And so he's telling us how we should be in this world that we live in. And so, you know, sometimes we like to pick fights with people over issues that really don't mean nothing. You know, I believe personally, and have for a while, I know my first becoming a Christian, I was just a fighter. I wanted to argue about everything, man. Just prove the point and lose the soul. But at least I won the battle, man. Who cares, right? You're going to hell anyways. What do I care? But no, you learn later, that's not true. It's about winning the soul and doing it as tactfully as we possibly can. Don't burn the bridges. And so when I read this verse here and I think about the wolves that are out there, and how can I be wise, and how can I present a gospel that will get them to listen to what I have to say, that's the goal, is to bring people to Jesus Christ. So I know that for us, when Jesus says you be smart as a snake and wise and soft and gentle as a dove, he's telling us something that we're supposed to do towards people in this world. And again, we live in a world that's decaying, has been since the fall. Everything is dying since the fall. There's nothing in this world that has not been created that is not dying since the fall. And we see humans in the same way. We see our morals decaying. We see evil being lifted up and good being brought down. There's all kinds of words being renewed in the scripture. There's so many definitions that no longer, according to the world, mean what they say anymore. That's why you see the people embracing same-sex marriage or embracing to go ahead and abort a baby or to go ahead and legalize drugs. And we see these things because they're twisting scriptures to fit themselves. And we see, unfortunately, Christians doing the same thing. Why? Because we see what this verse says, that they will have itching ears and follow the people that they want to hear. Not what the scriptures say, but what they want to hear. Well, we study scripture so we can know what God says about something. But we're still in the midst of this world among fallen people. But we have to reach them. And he says, be wise, be harmless and gentle as a dove. He says, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils or to the courts, the local courts, and scourge you in their synagogue, whip you, give you punishment. They will punish you in the synagogue. And again, he's talking to his disciples here. Remember when Jesus was talking in the first part of Matthew here, he's talking to a Jewish people. And they were sent to a Jewish people. And he told them what was going to happen. He said, beware of the men that are out there, because they're going to deliver you up to the councils, to the courts, and they're going to scourge you, they're going to punish you. And he's warning them about what will happen. And I think about how Paul, when he went out, that's exactly what happened to him over and over again. He was beaten, he was whipped, he was tortured many times as he presented the gospel. He was brought before these courts. These things actually had taken place in his time. And by the way, I believe the things we're reading here, all these things, if not the most of them, had happened between that time and 70 AD when the destruction of Jerusalem fell. But I also think it's a warning of the future time for the another generation of what's going to happen. I see that coming, of course, in our country. We see that things will start to happen. You know, I was just as bothered as anyone else about the bombing that took place this last week. But at the same time, personally, I knew that was coming, because the Bible talks about the end days and what's going to happen. Our country has been so blessed to be so protected for so long. But sooner or later, these things were going to take place. And personally, I think we're going to see more of them scattered from time to time, because evil is raising itself up. And the Antichrist has to come sooner or later. So we know these events will take place, and we know we're going to see the loss of life. And so he says, you know what? As we stand for truth and against evil, things are going to happen even amongst us. And here he says, they're going to deliver you up to the courts, and then you're going to be punished because of all this. But you know what? God will still be in charge no matter what happens. He has this all planned out. He understands what will take place. Who's going to oppose us? I believe religious people will oppose the church that believes in Scripture. I believe the government will oppose those who are Christians. And we're told here later, family will come against family. So there is a vast amount of people out there that are not going to like Christians. And Jesus is warning, they're going to come against you. And the scriptures show us that this is what happened then, and I believe it's going to happen sooner or later here in this life that we live in this country. And we must be prepared, because these things will take place. He says in verse 18, you will be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, or for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. You're going to be brought before people. They're going to profess who you are and what you believe in. But he says, don't worry about what you need to say. Now, I know governors and kings are the leaders of any community or any country. And you know, when I was reading this, and I used to think about this verse from long ago, and I think about, you know, the Lord says, don't worry about what you're going to say. Well, does that mean I'm not supposed to study and read and prepare? No, it means I'm supposed to be prayed up. I'm supposed to be studied up. I'm supposed to have my theology already in me so that when those times come, it's already there. The Holy Spirit will bring that up to communicate His truths. Have you ever been like me? You know, you get a t-shirt and it says, you know, Jesus rules and whatever. Someone comes up and says, what do you mean Jesus rules? Well, that's what He does. And then you start talking and you start sharing, and they're questioning you, and you start going at it, and all of a sudden, man, you're just on fire, and all this stuff's coming up, and you're like, man, I was good. That was great. And no, it wasn't you. It was the Holy Spirit. Exactly what this verse says. Don't worry, I'm going to give you what you need when you need it. And I've seen that happen. Have you guys seen that happen in your life? You think it's you, and it's not. It is the Holy Spirit. Just like this verse says, that He will come and He will speak, and it's the Holy Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And that is the testimony of even the future. If you're taken before someone in authority because of your faith in Jesus Christ, and you don't have to freak out and get all sweaty and what am I going to say, and no, it's just, Lord, here I am, I'm your vessel, you know, you've poured into me, and then just watch God, just like all those other times, just watch God work through your vocal cords. Because I know when that happens to me, sometimes even when I'm standing here talking, I just like, whoa, man, Lord, where did that come from? I mean, my wife one time, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, she asked me, I think I told you guys, I forget the word, but she said a word like, let's say governors. And I used the word in a sentence, and, you know, I didn't know what a governor is at the time. And she said, so, something about the governor. I said, what is that? She goes, what do you mean, what is that? You said that in your sermon today. I go, I did? She goes, yeah, you did. And I go, really? And she goes, yeah. She goes, and you used it in context too. I go, I did? And she says, yeah, you did. I go, I have to listen to that sermon because I don't remember saying that. And that's one of those times where the Holy Spirit just kind of works through. And when I listen to the tape, I go, oh, man, Lord, that was good. I really like the way you used that word. And so I had to look it up and know it for myself, because at the time I didn't know it. And it happens, you know, but that's what He does. And I think it's awesome, because no matter what might happen to us, where we might be, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, at the gym, at the market, at the gas station, or if you actually are taken before some leader somewhere, God's going to back you up. He's got your back, man. He's going to take care of it all when you stand for Him. And that's what these verses are saying, and that's what He's telling His disciples. Hey, don't worry. Just share what you've been sharing. Wear the t-shirt. Put the bumper stickers on. Ruffle some feathers, man. Let Jesus be known. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing here. It's not just about getting saved and sitting home and you know, watching whatever we watch and do. No, it's about making a difference in this culture that we live in. We need to offer hope to people who don't have hope. We need to present this gospel that Jesus can change lives, that He's watching over us, that He's awesome, that He's doing things, and proclaim this gospel of who He is, and then watch the Holy Spirit work through us as we are faithful to the call that He's given us. And then He tells them, now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parent and cause them to be put to death. You know, these words were always very hard words for me to accept. And as the years have gone by and I become older myself, they're not so hard to accept. You know, when you watch families break apart when, you know, grandma dies and there's an inheritance, and then you see the siblings all quarreling over this money, and then they don't talk for, you know, 10, 20, sometimes to death. They won't even go to the funeral because they're so ticked off at what happened 20 years ago, but they don't remember exactly what it was. They just know they were so upset, and they won't show up, and this becomes more real. You could see the division within families over silly things. Sometimes minute things, just silly things. And this verse becomes more real the older I get, because I see more now that I'm older and watch more. But Jesus here is giving them a heads up of what will happen during this time of persecution. He warns of family members turning against each other. Now, if we can see it in our society over an inheritance or a car that was supposed to be left, or, you know, whatever the thing might be, we know when it comes down to who Jesus Christ is, this very well will happen as well. And so he says here that the family will turn against each other. Now, we know during the time of Nero, this actually happened in the 68, 69, 70 AD period, when the temple was being destroyed. People were giving up their family members. They were doing this stuff. And just like he said, hey, a brother will deliver up brother. That's my brother. He's one of those, you know, for us today, he's one of those Christians. At the time, he's one of the Jews. But he's one of those Christians. I'm not. I believe in whatever. And they were, you know, they're going to turn. And like I said, what happened then is going to happen in the future. And it's going to be family memories, it says. A father will give up his child. To me, that's just, it's very hard to think. I mean, in my mind, it's like it doesn't want me, allow me to believe that. But yet the scripture says that's what's going to happen. A father will give up his child. And children will rise up against parents. That I can believe. I can believe children will rise up against parents. That's not so hard for me to believe. I've seen it over and over. But a father giving up their child, man, that's kind of tough. And Jesus is saying, when these times come and they become hard, this is exactly what's going to happen. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Again, this is taking place today, even in America. Christians are being hated. That's why they want to change the laws. That's why we have these organizations that are coming against what we believe. That's why the Pledge of Allegiance not being allowed in the schools started happening. Because there became a hatred towards God, and hatred towards God will be a hatred towards us and what we stand for and what we believe. And we see this happening more and more. Christians are hated. The word means detested or disliked intensively. Why? Because of Christ. There is an assault taking place in our world against Christians today. All over. We're experiencing it more and more as the years goes by. You know, I watched a video by Ken Ham, the founder of Answers to Genesis. And I would tell you right now, Google Ken Ham, State of the Nation. He's got an hour sermon that he did somewhere. But he talks about the issues with kids and our culture today. And in one of the segments there was a portion that he was talking about the changing of words and the persecution of Christians and the taking away the authority of the parent from the children. And he showed a segment of The View. I don't know how many of you guys watched The View, but shame on you. But there's this segment of The View. And they were talking about Darwinism. And these ladies are all discussing it. And one of them says, you know, a parent who doesn't teach their children Darwinism is an abusive parent. And it was quick. And he went back. He goes, did you catch that? And he goes back and he slows it down. He goes, listen. And that's what she said. It's an abuse. It's child abuse. That's what she said. It's child abuse. Then he went to this other segment of another talk show. Then another talk show. And they're all saying it's child abuse. The parents We are abusing our children because we're not teaching them Darwinism. We're not allowing them in school. And what he said was interesting, because when I first heard all that, my first thought was, they're setting us up for 10 years from now. They're setting us up now to put these words in place so that we look like we're the abusers, so that they can one day take away our kid. Lo and behold, man, as soon as my thought finished, that's what he went into. This is what's happening in our culture today. All these different words that are being used because they're setting us up. They want to take away the authority of the parent from the children. And so, you know, I watched this whole thing and everything he said. I thought, man, this guy's got this right on the money. Ken Ham, State of the Nation. Go on Google, type it. I'm telling you, trust me, this is stuff that is going to be happening more and more. I love my kids, and I have to be on my guard against this world all the time. So I'm watching all kinds of stuff, especially when it comes to children and what they want to change. I encourage you, get online and look at it for yourself and make your own judgment. I can tell you what mine are, but man, when you see it, God will minister to your heart. Well, Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. Those who are suffered or remain or preserved to the end will be saved. We have to continue to stand for what we believe in spite of what the world is telling us. We have to stand and continue to stand against this enemy and its lies about same-sex marriage, about abortions, about our children. We must be the ones that are the watchguards that will stand against this culture and what it's trying to do to us and protect our loved ones. It's God left that up to us, but he's given us the power to do it through the Holy Spirit. He's given us great teachers. There are so many great teachers on the net and on a few on TV, but not too many there. But on the net, there's some great teachers. There's some great books that can help us understand what is taking place today and how we're supposed to be prepared. He says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. In other words, it's not wrong to run. When you see persecution coming and you know it's going to start, go to another city. Get away from it. He says here in verse 24 or 23, for surely I say to you, you have not gone through all the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Basically, what Jesus is saying, before you go through all this, I am going to visit these cities. And he did. He went through Capernaum and all that region of the Galilee.